Welcome to Sports Day with Badge and Sats. Two footy legends covering all things sport for Kia's open season. On now with match-winning deals and Red Energy for 100% Australian electricity and gas.
Welcome to Sports Day. Scott Sattler, Jason Matthews in the Sports Day studio this afternoon. Hello, Sats.
Hey, Jace. Hey, listeners. And it was one of the proudest days, I think, in Australian Olympic history, winter or summer, when on this day 19 years ago, Stephen Bradbury won a gold medal.
Was
at the
it
winter
today?
Olympics. Yeah. That was his fourth Winter Olympics.
And what were you saying to me just before that? People also fell over in the semi-final.
In the semi-final for him to qualify for the final.
Incredible.
And he always maintained he was never quick enough. So he used it as a ploy to make sure, see if everyone would create carnage in front of him. So, yeah, 19 years ago today.
Oh, that's incredible. I mean, the tortoise wasn't that fast either, and that beat the hare, didn't it?
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
I wonder if that really actually happened or whether that was just some stupid story that was made up. I'll tell you what else you should be proud of, the fact that we have a beer company officially sponsoring our radio show.
No. But not we.
Me.
Yep.
I know it upsets you. I believe we're getting some merchandise and we're meant to get beer, but I haven't seen it. I don't know where it is. Don't come around my places. But Four Pines Brewing Co., the official beer of Sports Day with Badge Sats and me. I arranged this, mate.
Mm.
My first ever sponsorship. Are you proud of me? It upsets him. I'm sorry. Hey, today's show, Stephen Mitchell, who's the CEO of the Gold Coast Titans. Big announcement today. Massive announcement. I have a feeling, though, they let down the media because they were expecting something else.
Yes.
We'll let you know what that announcement is real soon on the show. Do you think it involves one C. Smith?
Well, I think they all assumed that's what it would be.
All right, we'll find out real soon what else is coming up on the show. Oh, tonight, mate, this afternoon, I love your hot topic. Top 10 players who need to bounce back this season.
Yep.
And again, I got a feeling a lot of these players, Sats, contracts expire at the end of 2021.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure whether a lot of them do, but that's when you see the best footy players.
I think I know one and two.
Okay. Do you want to put it out there right now or not?
I think the one and two belong in southeast Queensland.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, one of them for the Broncos and one of them for the Titans.
Okay, no worries.
All righty. So don't change it just because guessed it.
I'm actually just looking at it. You might be right on one of them.
If you want to, oh, great. Well, you've just ruined the surprise. 1-300-42-1533. If you want to get involved with the show, we'd love to hear from you. Or 0477-736-736. Let's rip into a sports update.
Sports Day, Sports Update.
Yeah, we'll kick it off with an Aussie Open update for Kia's Open season on now with match-winning deals, Sats, and is it the Barty Party? It is rolling on. She had a very easy win last night. This is Ash post her win.
Oh, we're not done yet. Obviously, it's exciting to be in another quarterfinal of a Grand Slam, particularly here in Australia. If we'd looked at the way that we're preparing during our preseason to have the start that we've had so far is really encouraging, but certainly not satisfied with where we're at the moment. We'll keep chipping away and keep trying to do the right things to progress as far as we can. It's a unique feel, this particular Grand Slam, and a different situation. I've learnt a lot about myself over the past 12 months. I think the world's in a bit of a different place to what it's ever been before. So I think I'm just extremely grateful that I've got another opportunity to do something that I love out on one of the most beautiful courts in the world on the biggest stage for us as Aussies playing tennis, which is really cool.
There you go, Ash Barty there after her win last night. I tell you what, Sats. I mean, by the time we got home, not together, but we left the studio and went to our respective...
She was back at a hotel, wasn't she?
She was, mate, and I saw some highlights. I don't know. She looks good. She looks very good.
Well, she's not using a lot of energy at the moment. Many believe that when you get into that quarterfinal stage, which she's into, that you need a tough match.
She had a tough one against Dasha Gavrilova.
You really struggle with the tennis.
I can't wait for it to finish.
Okay.
I really can't wait for it to finish. But she did. She had a bit of a challenge in that second set.
Yep.
in that game. So she'll be playing in her quarterfinal tomorrow. Yes. Tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. Melbourne time, she'll be playing. Rafa Nadal is into his 43rd quarterfinal.
It's not a statistic.
It is a stat.
I saw this and I thought, why would you put that? Like, I mean, what's your 43rd quarterfinal really mean?
I mean, what means you've played in 42 others?
It's like saying you played in X amount of semifinals, but until you win the last day of the tournament, it really doesn't mean much. It does for your ranking, but not when you're throwing out stats like the 43rd quarterfinal. You know it's irrelevant, don't you? You put it in there deliberately just to
fire you up,
pee me off.
Yeah, and then you've taken the bait. You're like it's like fishing in a barrel with a stick of jelly knight at the moment. Mm. This is what Rafa had to say after his win.
You can't expect to go on court and to don't have problems during the match, you know, facing this kind of players. So it's normal that in the second set, I don't think I played a good game. He break me. I was lucky to have the break back immediately, and then I saved a lot for it. That was the key, you know. So during this couple of games, I was a little bit lucky to be able to have a score 5-4 for me and serving. I think in the beginning of the second set, from the beginning to the 3-2, I think I was better than him. Then from 3-2 to 5, especially to 4-all, he was much better than me, you know, and I was able to hold the score, and that was probably one of the biggest keys.
Has he got the sexiest accent in tennis?
I didn't hear or understand a word that he said, but all I know is that it's a great accent.
It's a beautiful accent. I was mesmerised.
Yeah. I'm just too concerned about trying to replicate it.
I want to hear him talk. I want to hear him make his 44th quarterfinal just to hear him speak.
He could read the Bible to me and it'd be interesting. Mm.
On the 11th day, Scotty. Oh, I don't know. I can't do it anyway. I've never read the Bible.
I didn't realize he was South African. Are you really?
Naomi Osaka is through to the semis after her straight sets win today. Well done to Naomi Osaka. Tonight, good action tonight. Serena Williams in around about an hour's time taking on Simona Halep. Serena Williams ranked 10 in at this tournament and Simona is ranked number 2. Good game. Good game. Very good game. That's followed by an even better game, Djokovic versus Zverev. Coming up, that's obviously Djokovic ranked number 1 in this tournament and Zverev is ranked at number 6. I actually think if I was a gambling man.
Which you are.
Zverev will win tonight.
Yeah, well, I mean, Djokovic he's had two tremendous wins, the last two wins. Beat Rainic the other day, but.
He's the outsider in the match too, Alexander.
Well, Djokovic going with a side injury, was it an adductor injury or whatever it may be? So he may struggle.
Yeah, he could. Well, he got through the other night, so it'll be interesting to see. So that will follow the Serena Williams and Halep match. That's our Australian Open update. It's open season at Kia with match-winning deals and Australia's best 7-year warranty across the range and other sports news for pharmacy sleep services. Get tested for sleep apnea. Bulldogs, drama. Mm. Got a brand new CEO too. So you walk into the club and this is what you got to deal with. Our very good friend, Adam Elliott.
One of our favourite interviews of all time.
Well, I don't know what to do now, Sats. Adam Elliott, we spoke to him 2 weeks ago on the show. Amazing guy. And we had a really good chat with him and we both walked away going, geez, what a good guy. Now he's been.
And I've got no doubt he has got some very good traits still.
Yeah, but I might have to knock him off the perch now and put Matt Dufty back at number 1.
What do you call him?
The Duff.
The Duff.
Duff man, you know, from The Simpsons.
Yeah, reports coming out of the Bulldogs. We heard with interest on, I think it was Monday morning, where Michael Leisha, their former hooker, was taken to hospital, injured, also charged with some offences.
Yeah, domestic violence charges.
There was apparently no assault on another party. It was more around damaging property, whatever it may be. It has now emerged that Michael Leisha's partner, when interviewed by police, when asked why the confrontation ensued, it was because that she was caught by Michael Leisha making out with Adam Elliott. Michael Leisha had apparently gone to bed. Adam Elliott and his partner, Michael Leisha's partner, stayed up drinking, heavily intoxicated, and that's where the argument ensued when he walked out and found them. So
So what? They were cuddling?
Well, we don't know. We don't know.
What did she say to the police? They were what?
Making out. Which is...
Now, I haven't made out since I was... God knows how long ago. So I don't know what making out is anymore.
Oh, I don't know either. But
you, have you ever made out?
All I know is it's inappropriate.
Right.
From what we're hearing, it's inappropriate. And we haven't heard anything from the Bulldogs yet.
Is it making out like just kissing? Isn't that what?
If it's someone else's partner, I suppose it's.
That's not good.
It's still.
But
not
he could
good.
Have been saying, like, you know, kissing her goodbye longer than normal. Like.
It is the family club, the Bulldogs.
Are they related?
No, but yeah, they're all playing in the same club. But
what do you mean?
This is concerning because he's a good young player, Adam Elliott.
Yeah, we like him too.
And, you know, he's...
New dad.
He had that Mad Monday scenario a few seasons ago where those photos emerged where... But, you know, formed a wedge amongst opinions in rugby league landscape where they said, hang on, so they're having a really good time. Why were people taking photos of rooftops? But at the end of the day, it's a young man getting naked in public is never really accepted.
No.
Used to be accepted once upon a time, not anymore.
How many times did you get naked? Like, I have a feeling that you used to get naked, hence why you're saying used to be accepted. I don't think been accepted, Scott.
I've done it on a couple of Mad Mondays, but I didn't do it on my own accord. It was like, yeah. Oh, I probably shouldn't go into it any further.
No, I probably wouldn't. It's never been, can I just say.
It's a little bit uncomfortable.
For the record, it's never been acceptable. Yeah. Can I just say that? And Ken, for the record, I've never gotten naked in public. There are various reasons, but I...
Don't want to paint an image for people or not?
No, especially in winter.
Yeah. George Costanza would say.
Hey, huge developments around Jack DeBellin and, you know, the...
Fainu.
Yeah, the NRL won an arbitration stoush with the players' union.
Yep. The no-fault policy.
No, it stands.
Yeah. It's still going to stand.
And so it should. They're the rules in the game, right?
Yeah. So it's the no-fault stand-down policy revolves around anything that a player is charged with, brings the game into disrepute, but also can carry a sentence upwards of around 10 or 11 years, whatever it may be. So still double figures. Hence why Manessi Fainu and Jack DeBellin are still under that policy. I agree with you, Jace. I think there is a period of time, and I'd love to get the feedback of the listeners, actually. 0477 736 736. Send us an SMS. Or, if you want to call us, 1300 42 15 33. Should you be stood down for a period of time? Because you have got that element of innocence as well, innocent until found guilty.
Absolutely, yeah.
So I'll paint a scenario for you just to make it easier. Okay, yep. Jack DeBellin gets charged.
Yep.
Okay, he's going to go through a lengthy period out of the game before he even fronts court. Now, we know there's a hung jury and it's going to be seen in court again at a later date at the end of this season. Should Jack DeBellin be out of the game for an extended period of time? Then should he be drip-fed through the Canterbury Cup, which is the second-grade competition, for a period of time where he's still playing, and then after, whether it's 12 months, whatever it may be, should he then be allowed to play first grade until his court appearance? I don't know. I'm just throwing up solutions.
I don't think so. And you know what you're getting yourself into when you sign a contract.
Mm.
And it's up to you if you want to accept the terms of employment.
Okay, but you're not saying that you sign a contract, you know what the terms are. If you get charged, you should automatically be stood down because there is, like I said, there is still an element of innocence. You know, the Brett Stewart case was a perfect case, out of the game for a year, albeit he did have an injury as well, but stood down for disciplinary reasons, only to have, you know, to be
charges
dropped and found.
I totally understand, it's not going to be 100% perfect.
Yep,
but it's got to be black or white, Satch. You can't have any grey area around this because you can't allow it for one person.
No, not for one. I'm talking
for all.
I'm talking for all.
But I don't think you can. I don't. It's got to be black or white. And, you know, if there are serious charges against you, and again, innocent until proven guilty, I get that as well. But these are serious charges.
Yes.
And I think it's got to stand until he is either cleared or sentenced.
Mm.
And it's unfortunate. But that's how it is.
Yeah.
You know? And again, I go back to normal employment. I guess if that happened to us, if we had some serious charges, we'd stood down. Question, is Jack DeBellin still getting paid?
No, as of this year, he's been taken off the list for more reports.
All right. So, but his hearing is again scheduled for April, isn't it?
I'm not quite sure.
I think it is. It's been moved to Sydney or something. So I think that's going to happen there. So, interesting. What are your thoughts on that? 0477 736 736 or 1300 42 15 33. Broncos are confident, Sats, that they'll still get the signature of Craig Bellamy ahead of the Sharks.
Isn't it funny? Anything that comes out of Melbourne, there's so many question marks, isn't it? You know, Cam Smith, what's he going to do? Craig Bellamy, what's he going to do? He finishes at the end of this season. He's off contract and would be a great asset. He's always had a soft spot for the Broncos. He coached there. He's a conditioner there. He was an assistant coach, I should say. Has spoken to them on multiple occasions when they've tried to get him out of Melbourne. You know, there's always been this argument that he wants to return to southeast Queensland because that's where his children live. But his daughter apparently lives in southeast Queensland on the Gold Coast. His son Adam actually sits next to him in the coach's box. When you watch the coach's box in every game, he's in front of the computer just to your right as you watch the screen. Now, he's the one that lives in Melbourne and has got, for more reports, a couple of kids. So Nanny and Poppy moving away doesn't make sense. But if Craig Bellamy did go, I would anticipate that Adam, his son, would be part of the package.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay. Cronulla great Paul Gallen has urged the Sharks to decide who should coach the club beyond this season in the next month or two. I can't believe that they may not have a plan in place.
Well, they'll have a plan. They're just not making it public.
Well, it won't be Flanagan, will it? They've already come out and said that.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, they've spoken about Bellamy coming in and sitting over the top of John Morris and John Morris being mentored by Craig Bellamy, which is a really good decision because John Morris is still really in his infancy. I like what John Morris did with the Cronulla Sharks team. I think he's proved he can coach, not knowing what he's like from a day-to-day basis and his relationship with the players. But I disagree with Paul here. I don't think the Sharks need to decide who will coach the club beyond this season in the next month or two. The competition hasn't even kicked off.
And what's the latest then?
To decide on a coach publicly? Publicly or to decide on a coach publicly, personally myself, I think 6 weeks out from the end of the season.
That late?
Yeah, absolutely. Because
what about sponsors and stuff like that who are thinking about, okay, should I renew? I've got the new financial year, July 1. Are we going to renew our...
You know internally what you're doing and you're communicating with your major sponsors.
And what about, hope that they don't tell anyone.
Yeah, but to make it public, you don't know how your team is going to go. Yeah, they may be just on the cusp of making the top eight. They may have a Gold Coast Titans run home where they push themselves into the eight. So you have to leave every option open. You can't, I don't believe that you can make a decision that early out.
Okay. Hey, last night we were talking about the toughest boxers in the NRL and the best boxers in
the
NRL.
Best fighters.
Best fighters, yeah.
I didn't throw up Chris Close. Chris Choppy Close, he was famous for being one of the best fighters in the NRL for many, many years, or the New South Wales Rugby League.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Mate, one that came from Miami, Peter, he threw up Terry Hill. Was Terry Hill a bit of a fighter?
Yeah, he was always known as a bit of a street fighter, Terry Hill.
Righty-o.
Yeah.
I want to ask you a story about your dad. He was tough, wasn't he?
I don't know how he'd go in the ring because he had a lot of anger problems and he would have been quite erratic. If you wanted to line up anyone in the top 15 that we mentioned last night in the street, I don't think I'd back my dad every day of the week.
Including Anthony Mundine, who was at number one.
In the street.
Yeah.
I'm talking about in the street? Yeah, absolutely.
Really?
I've watched my dad fight. And my first recollection of my dad in a fight was when I was eight.
Oh, God.
And he's fighting two cowboys at a radio at a pub that we owned in Bribie Island, which is just on the way to the Sunshine Coast. Beautiful little holiday island in between Brisbane and Sunshine Coast. That was my earliest recollection. I've never seen him get beaten in a fight ever in all the pubs that we lived in and owned. And he took on multiple people at a time.
Oh, jeez.
Have we got time to tell you a really quick story?
Yeah, a really quick one.
Okay. So we own this pub in Bribie Island. We also bought a pub on the Gold Coast. So Dad, twice a week, was driving from Bribie Island to the Gold Coast. It was about an hour and three quarters at that time. And then he'd come back that night until we sort of ended up moving back down to the Gold Coast. Anyway, on his way back from the Gold Coast, just a one-lane highway, two-lane highway. He saw this lady on the side of the road being harassed by these three guys in khaki pants.
And, yeah, right, yeah.
Like army pants.
Yep.
Anyway, he did a quick U-turn, went back to help her, and this one guy said, mate, it's not your, got nothing to do with you, and bang, he dropped him. Another guy got out of the car, bang, dropped him. Another one got out of the car, bang, dropped him. And he picked all three of them up one at a time and threw them in the back of the ute. Just crumpled all these bottles up and said to the lady, quick, off you go. So then he went back to the Bribie Island Hotel. And when he got back, there was all this damage. There was glass broken. There was some of the patrons had blood coming out of them. And the duty manager was bleeding. And he said, what happened here? He says, oh, John, we wish you were here 20 minutes ago. What happened? He said, oh, there was these three army guys that just came through here and just tore the place up and bashed everyone and damaged the place. He said, I just ran into three army guys on the highway 30 minutes down the road. That's the ultimate karma.
Hey, if you want to add to the best fighter, maybe even throw out the toughest footballer ever to play the game, 0477 736 736, or 1300 42 15 33. Snoring, waking up tired, find out if you have sleep apnea. Book a home sleep test at Pharmacy Sleep Services. This is Sports Day for Keys Open Season on our match winning deals. When we come back, Steve Mitchell, the CEO of the Gold Coast Titans, joins us on Sports Day.
You're listening to Sports Day. Have your say by dropping Badge and Sats a text. 0477 736 736. That's 0477 736 736. This is Sports Day. We'll be right back. This is Sports Day with Badge and Sats. For Red Energy, for 100% Australian electricity and gas. And Kia's open season. On now with match-winning deals.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Scott Sattler, Jason Matthews, Tuesday afternoon. Sats, I think this is the first time we've had a guest in the studio. Well, since I've been involved with the show anyway. We'd like to welcome in Steve Mitchell.
You've got bad body odour. That's why they don't want to come in here.
Steve Mitchell, CEO of the Titans. Welcome to Sports Day.
Thanks, Jason. I'm quite honoured to be your inaugural in-studio guest.
Yeah, in our brand new studio. Have we got enough televisions on the wall?
Mate, it's pretty flash. There's nothing I can't see.
There's nine televisions. Oh, it's still something. There'll be something on one of the Foxtel channels that we won't be able to watch. Mate, welcome in. You've had a big day today. We'll get to that. You're at Robina. You had the big stadium announcement there. Do you just want to quickly tell our listeners what that was?
Yeah. We've been, it's a great step for us. We've extended our partnership with Stadiums Queensland and obviously our home venue in Seabus Stadium out. If we take the options up right out until the back end of the next broadcast cycle, which is a pretty big endorsement of us. It talks to the fact that the Gold Coast is our home and we're taking this team from the Gold Coast to take on nationally where we're at. It's a great venue. We're spoilt for operations. It's got a great field, a great energy Seabus. It's easy to activate in. What we have to do and what we started doing at the back end of last year is build a fortress in that venue for a visiting team so that Justin and our squad is heartily supported in there. So we're very excited about that. And the Stadiums Queensland guys have been wonderful to work with and making that happen.
I've never bought into the argument, Steve, and I've heard from a lot of fans around the Gold Coast and being a Gold Coast boy where they say, oh, it's so hard to get to, but it's one of the very few grounds where you've got a train station directly next to it, a bus station and a highway. I've never bought into that argument.
Yeah. I think you only know what you know too. Like if you try and get into some of the suburban grounds in Sydney, yeah. My God, mate, like trying to get to Manly, and trying to get to some of those, you get out to Para, see what it's like trying to get to Para. Yeah. It definitely is. You've got the M1 there, you've got the train station. And now we've got, the building that's heading around or being put together around the stadium, we've got an additional 500 car parks across the road and at the view, and car parking popping up all over the place. So it's easy to get in. And we're working with a traffic management plan to improve that again. So that experience is super important and bringing people back.
Rugby league has been in your blood for many, many years. Your son Anthony played a lot of NRL games. You're involved at the Cowboys for a long time as well. Coming to the Gold Coast was perfect timing for you. A good coach, good off-field team, great team they're starting to put on paper. But you've had to prepare a season under a very shortened pre-season after the end of last year with Origin finishing very, very late. How's that been? Has it been difficult?
It's been across all clubs. So, we all have to work with the restrictions that we've got in play. I think the difference has been over the last 2 years is the quality of the people that we've been able to bring into the organisation, both from an administration point of view and across through our our coaching staff and Justin Holbrook and the two Jimmies and then the high performance team that's there. So those men are solution-based people. They're optimistic. They're energy-based and they dream of success. So they turn whatever's in front of you and it's problematic into why don't we do this? And that infuses the player group, you know, with let's get about it. Let's not whinge about it. And they've done a wonderful job at that. Mm. We've got a playing roster at the moment that's probably been through one of the best off-seasons I've seen. They're in great shape. But beyond just their physical shape is their shape psychologically. They're all aligned. There's no groups. There's no little pods. They're 34-year-olds and 18-year-olds and different cultural backgrounds. They're all top friends, mates, and ultimately a number of them are competing that are top-line players that are competing for the same jersey.
Yeah.
And it's been quite extraordinary to watch. So we're pretty excited about the pending season.
It is a tremendous team that you're starting to put on paper. A lot of good young players that still haven't played a lot of seasons in, like Tino. And Dave Fifita is still very, very raw when it comes to his rugby league ability. Patrick Herbert, I think, is one of the most exciting signings. Herman SASA. Are you waiting for a leader? I mean, you got Kevin Proctor is a good leader. Jared Wallace has played Origin. But there's one leader that needs to pop his head up. And he's in there somewhere. Is there someone that we don't know about that could possibly play that role?
Yeah, it's a really good question. It's something that the coaching staff identified. And a lot of it, we've been working with the leadership coach, Justin Garaduli, who went to St. Helens with Justin and came back, and he's done an exceptional job. And you're right, the squad's a young squad. Mm. We just finished a strategic plan for the organisation out to 2030 and what we look like at that point in time. And as I was doing the plan 2030, I realised that when that plan is complete, Dave Fifita will have turned 30 that year. Tina will turn 30 that year. Mo will turn 30 that year. There's about eight of them in there that'll turn 30 that year. So it speaks to how young they are. But to Justin's credit, without a senior player group in that group, the senior player group was going to be behaviourally based around the standards and the interaction between the high performance squad and the coaching staff, setting selflessness, accountability, humility, and high standards around effort. And it seems like if everyone's accountable and doing their job and focused to the point on what they're trying to do, the leadership actually looks after itself, and then you're self-correcting.
Right.
Yeah. So that's the environment. I think those Sats over the next 36 months will have a really strong senior player group, the leadership group developed through there, which will take us through the second half of this decade. So I think the next through to 2024 is an extremely exciting time for the Titans, given our roster and given the coaching staff that we've got there, momentum that we've got going. And then I think there's this, to your point, there's a second piece there with these kids that are coming through, like Tommy Weavers and Austin Bryant, and kids that are local, kids that have come through high-performance pathways that used to go to the Bronx or head to the Chooks that are staying here now. I think that 24 through 28, 29 era is going to be really exciting as well, because we'll have local kids that have come through Palm Beach, Crumbin, who grew up in Currumbin, that are playing first grade and playing for different reasons. They're not coming here to play for a check. They're not coming here because they're playing for home, you know.
Yeah.
So that's really exciting.
It's frightening to think that David Fifita, Mo Fatawaker and Tino will be just turning 30 in 7 or 8, 9 years' time. Ridiculous.
I'm just standing here doing the maths going, I can't believe they're only 21 still. And they're huge, huge. What's the pass mark this year for the club on and off the field?
Hard work. I think the premise has been, Justin said it really well the other day when he was talking about, you know, what are your aspirations? Is top eight. So if you have a look at the top eight, it's probably in that top eight. There's eight teams that didn't make the eight, and all eight of those want to make the eight. And out of the top eight, there's probably two that won't get the eight. So you're probably shooting for two spots. There's probably six you'll have a hard time actually dethroning from the top eight. So our expectations about consistency, hard work, application, and what we've actually put in play, and just take each week as it comes. And then beyond that, the greater sustainability of the business, really building out our consumer set, memberships come back on board. It's above a level as far back as 2011 and pushing past that. We've announced as many as half a dozen major sponsors in the last 8 weeks. We've got a few to come. The consumer looks really good. We've got the highest growth in social media of any club in the competition at the moment in regard to audience growth.
Have you got your own TikTok account,
Mitch? I don't.
Okay. Have you banned TikTok in the club? I mean, I couldn't imagine Justin on TikTok.
Justin doesn't have a Facebook post.
No.
So.
Okay.
But it is for a different generation. So.
Yeah.
We have some experts that track that for us.
And that's good that's all coming together. So now we've just got to get some on-field success. And again, the back half of last year was outstanding for the Titans. And we spoke to Justin at the end of the year. He's going, I just don't want it to end. Mm. He wanted to come back the first week of the finals. Mm. move ahead a couple of years and you've got the potential second team in Brisbane. Well, it's going to happen. I mean, Peter Vlandis is really pushing for it. How do you feel as the CEO of the club? Is there enough room for that third team in Southeast Queensland, in your opinion, from a business point of view, from a player's point of view?
Yeah, it's a great question, Jason. And I think that that's got to be answered by a due diligence process. And if that process says yes, then the answer is yes. I think to your point, mate, earlier, so that's where if we're in favour, everything's good for the sport, away from just our brand. You know, ultimately, the growth of the sport through participation, kids coming through, the quality of the product at its elite level in our broadcast product is ultimately important in regard to the success of the code itself over the next 20 years. We need to put a business case together and do the feasibility study around will the revenues work, you know, and will that actually sustain this new organisation going forward? What do those catchment areas look like? And if the outcomes of that are right, absolutely, we go. You
know, okay. So,
but if it's not, we don't want to make this mistakes of past and go through and open a new club at the loss of another club or without that club being sustainable over the long haul. A lot of clubs, including the Titans, definitely have come in. You know, 5 years in, you get through a bit of a honeymoon period where you churn a fair bit of money. Sustainability over the long term takes 20 years. Probably the Cows took 20 years to come out of the ground, become tribal and have the kids not, you know, following nothing else. But the Titans, it's a 20-year journey. So it needs to be, we can't make quick decisions on this. They need to be thought through, have good rigour around it. But if it's good for the code, then that's
a good attitude to have, Steve, you know, to work collaboratively with whoever it is, Redcliffe, Brisbane Firehawks, Brisbane Jets, whoever it may be. Everyone identifies their boundaries and work together. Then comes down to how do you sell the club to get the player, doesn't it? And that's what I want to touch on when it comes to recruitment. And I've asked you this question before at functions. Having someone like Mal Meninga in your club when you're going to negotiate with a player, how much does it play a part having Mal in your club?
Oh, it's hard to put a value on it, to be quite honest. I mean, Mal, working with Mal has been a delight in the first place and a pleasure. I've learned a lot from Mal, but you can't miss his aura and what he brings, particularly with young players. I would have to say Tino. The only reason we landed Tino was because of Mal. And Mal is a bloke that invests. So Mal went to Gympie twice and spent large chunks of the day with his parents.
Well, he's got a beautiful family, Tino.
So Mal goes up, makes himself a part of the family and talks about aspirationally where the club's going, what we're about, and says, trust me, come with me on this journey. So for Mal, I mean, I think as a young man to have Mal saying that, standing you can't quantify it, Sats. He's been extraordinary in that space. But not only from selling a kid to come in, he follows that through with the holistic care and where are we at, how's the program. He's great insights because of his background. He's both his playing background and his background around the sport holistically. He's a phenomenal sounding board. So I talk to him quite a bit about things that are away from the pitch, you know. People and culture, he's got great insights.
Well, he's honest, isn't he?
He's honest.
He's brutal honesty.
So much to be said about honesty.
How many journos turned up, before we let you go, how many journos turned up today disappointed that you didn't announce Cam Smith?
It was about eight. but I did say, Jason, I have to say thanks for probably one of the greatest well-intended PR campaigns the club's ever seen. So,
hey, just quickly on Cam, I'm not going to ask you whether he's going to sign or anything like that. That becomes white noise.
What are you going to do?
No, I'm going to say, from a club point of view, there was contact made to him, but wasn't there some form of contact? No. It's really just a scratch and feel if he was keen to play.
Well, we're not in a position where we really talk, and we don't.
And he keeps cards close to his chest as it is, Cam.
You happy with that?
I'm not going to rob a bank with him. He's not convincing me.
Yeah. I promised Scott, the media guy, we wouldn't mention Cam.
Oh, really?
And we weren't going to.
You didn't tell me that.
Yeah. No. So. Anyway, Steve Mitchell, CEO of the Titans. Congratulations on your new stadium deal today, and thanks for joining us on Sports Day.
Fantastic. Thanks, guys.
Shop for authentic Aussie products. The Australian-made Kangaroo certification is the logo the nation trusts. This is Sports Day for Kia's Open Season on now with match-winning deals. Our hot topic with Sats on the way next on Sports Day.
You're listening to Sports Day. Have your say by dropping Badge and Sats a text. 0477 736 736. That's 0477 736 736. This is Sports Day. We'll be right back.
This is Sports Day with Badge and Sats. For Red Energy, for 100% Australian electricity and gas. And Kia's open season, on now with match-winning deals. Now on Sports Day, it's time for our Hot Topic. For expert car air conditioning service you can rely on, visit repcoservice.com.
Rightio, welcome back to Sports Day. Sats here has a list of the top 10 players that need to bounce back in 2021. Let's go, Satsy.
So when I talk about bounce back, it means they've had a really good season somewhere in the last four or five seasons, and they need to get back to that.
Okay.
Individually, but also help their teams. I've got the top 11. Okay, so I'm going to throw in Dylan Napa. 3-year contract, $2 million. The rules have really gone away from him now. He probably needs to try and change his game if he's going to make the Bulldogs a real force and part of that huge improvement. So number 10, I'm going to say Blake Ferguson, Jace, and listeners. 220, and he scored 4 tries, 1 try assist. And as a winger, they do a lot of work, but you really want them to score tries. That's what they're for. They're there to finish off tries. So I'm going to say Blake Ferguson, tremendous player, played a lot of Origin. Number 9, I'm going to say Jack Bird. That's more of an emotional one. We want him to come good. Jack Bird, he's only played, he's played 17 games in 3 seasons. Okay, so I say Jack Bird. Brody Cross, my next one. He went up to Brisbane with a huge expectation.
He won't be seen this year, mate.
Yeah, I know. That's why he's probably so high up in the top 10, top 11, because I don't know whether we're going to expect too much of him. Number 7, BJ Leilua. And I'm going to say number 6, James Roberts. They could form the most dangerous centre combination if they get everything right. BJ Leilua, he was a centre of the year in, I think it was 2016, 2018. James Roberts, he's got another opportunity now. So they have to find something really big.
Disappointing time for Roberts at South.
Yeah, and the Broncos as well. Yeah. Matty Moylan is another one, number 5, coming back from ruptured hamstring. And I think he's a centre. I don't think he's a fullback or a 5-8 anymore in the back end of his career. Number 4, Luke Brooks. He's in his 8th NRL season. He's still a very young man. He's got the most games without a finals appearance. He needs to be the reason why the Tigers play finals.
Yeah, right.
So he's really got to bounce back. I mean, because as a youngster, 18, 19, 20-year-old, he was outstanding. Still is a really good player. I've got high opinion of him, but he needs to go to the next level. Number 3, Tevita Pengai Jr. Suspension, fines. Should have played a lot more Origins by now, but unfortunately just keeps finding himself in a hole. He leaves his team very vulnerable because of his suspensions.
Yeah.
Love his aggression. Don't want him to change it, but he's just probably got to control it a little bit more.
Mm.
Number 2.
Oh, can I guess?
What?
I reckon this would be a Titan.
No.
Bronco.
No. Yeah, Bronco. Anthony Milford.
There you go.
We've actually got one here also. Regards, Ron. My office is Milford, number 1, needs to improve. But if Ben Hunt wants to captain St. George, he surely has to, again, be above average.
So you've got number 2, you've got Milford.
Number 1, I've got Corey Norman.
Hang on. Where's Ash Taylor in all this?
No, because Ash Taylor has had a lot of expectations, okay? He's had a lot of expectations, Ash, and he's never really risen to those expectations on a consistent basis. I think he's been quite mediocre through this early
part
of his career.
Not bad for $1 million a year.
Yeah, but, the Gold Coast Titans, as part of their really poor recruitment, they were negotiating against nobody.
Yeah.
They were fighting as nobody for his services.
Well, the Broncos, they just wanted to take him off the Broncos.
Well, they got him from the Broncos.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say Corey Norman as the number 1 because he has been a really good player in the years gone by.
And just gone missing, hasn't he?
He's really got to learn how to be an absolute leader. That's my list. Top 11.
All right, there you have it. What do you think of it? 0477 736 736. You'll be blown away with car air conditioning service at Repco Authorised Service. Book at repcoservice.com. This is Sports Day for Keys Open Season. On now with match-winning deals. Chris Nelson next.
You're listening to Sports Day. Have your say by dropping Badge and Sats a text. 0477 736 736. That's 0477 736 736. This is Sports Day. We'll be right back. This is Sports Day with Badge and Sats. For Red Energy, for 100% Australian electricity and gas. And Kia's open season. On now with match-winning deals.
On Sports Day, time for a Racing Queensland update. Queensland is your place to race this year.
A lot of trials happening this morning, Chris Nelson.
Yes, Jase, we had a really good trial session at Doomben this morning. We had 17 heats and some very exciting horses going around on track to head to Sydney for the for their carnival. Chrome, of course, was one of them in heat number one. Tony Gollan trains. Chrome just sat back in the field. I love the way that she closed off nicely into third spot late, and she was put under no pressure by Ryan Maloney. So she'll head south for some stakes races shortly, as will the Odyssey, a horse that we know well up here. Of course, won on Magic Millions Day. The Odyssey finished in the placings in heat number nine. It was a pretty bunched finish. Racecourse Road, Kelly Schweeters, galloper one. The stablemate here, the Odyssey, sat three wide, no cover. Steph Thornton had a pretty good grip on him all the way. Now, he'll go to the Challenge Stakes in Sydney on March the 6th, and then he'll that'll be his lead-up towards the Galaxy on Golden Slipper Day. So those two were the highlights of the trials this morning. A couple of other nice performances, though, especially or particularly raced or heat four, number two, The Move, who coasted to victory. A horse that had a bit of a boom on him, one of Tony Gollan's, but he looked very good at the trials. He might be ready to turn the corner. Certainly that stable are flying at the moment. Jase, they could train me to win a race at the moment.
Let's calm down. Let's not get too carried away. And you've been in good form, mate, but you've got a tip for tomorrow, but it comes with a warning. Is that right?
It does. It's got a disclaimer. It's Ipswich tomorrow. Race one, number four, Cry Me No Tears. Robert Heathcote trains. Ben Thompson rides. 800-metre dash. Now, this horse has had one start. Ran second at Doomben behind a very smart type in Dovetail Diva. Led, gave a good kick, just couldn't quite match that horse late. But the 800 metres is ideal. What's not is the wide gate, drawn gate 8 of 9 at this stage. So if it can get across, I think it's the one to beat. So hopefully that's the case. If it comes up around $2 or $3, then I'll probably take the chance. Cry Me No Tears can still be too good for them there tomorrow.
All right, hopefully we aren't crying any tears tomorrow. Queensland is racing. The action continues this week at Doomben, the Gold Coast and the Sunshine Coast. Catch you tomorrow, mate.
Will do. Thanks, Jase.
Sats told a story earlier, and we get you your text messages through on 0477 736 736 for Red Energy for 100% Australian electricity and gas about your dad. Just, you know, fixing the attitudes of three blokes on the side of a highway. Some text messages coming through. G'day, guys. The story of your dad reminded me, Sats, of the day at Curry in 1964-65. Local derby.
62. 62, right. 64, yeah.
It was versus Cessnock. It was a bit of a fight. 30 seconds later, someone comes onto the field and fixes it all up. Who would that be?
Your black and gold jerseys going everywhere, he said.
Yeah, Bobby G from LTP. And here's another one. Kim on the Goldie saw Terry Leadbeater clean up a gang of bikies at a Terrigal pub in the 90s. And the bikies had already beaten up six guys, a girl, and the bouncers, and they're all laying in the gutter with ambulances. This is Sports Day. Thanks to Red Energy. That's Real Aussie Energy. Switch today.
You're listening to Sports Day. Have your say by dropping Badge and Sats a text. 0477 736 736. That's 0477 736 736. This is Sports Day.